comes down.
I work for Dell, and therefore I must use a Dell laptop with the Dell Windows image on it. So in order to get any work done, I have to run VirtualBox with Linux inside that, and trying to get all of those steps to work together. And then, of course, there's no VGA output on this laptop. So it was a bit of work to get this far. And now, here, go away, go away, there you go away. No, no, go away. Ha, it went away. Hooray. All right. And look at this. I got the Windows stuff on the bottom still. How annoying. So thank you all for showing up. There are three tracks today. I know it's kind of busy. I notice that everybody's as far that way as they can figure out how to be. Is it my breath? Really? Seriously?
Is this,
you're here. Yes, but you're special.
Oh.
All right. So let me quickly introduce myself. For those who haven't met me before, haven't seen me do one of these. I am a Samba team member. Yay! I am an author of SMB documentation. I wrote a book several years ago called Implementing SIFs. And as a result of that, I actually got hired as a contractor by Microsoft to write their SMB documentation, SMB 1 documentation. MS-SIFs, MS-SMB. My fault is another person wandering around here today, Jose Rivera. He was another one of the authors on that project. I like ice cream, and I'm an incurable idealist. I think we can make this work. I really do. I really think we can make it all work. Just to be clear, I do work for Dell. Dell is not sponsoring my trip here this year. The Samba team is sponsoring my trip here this year. The opinions expressed are my own. They do not come from my employer, my wife, the voices I hear in my head, the little monster under the bed, you know, that kind of thing. Notice that my opinions there go through the meat grinder. So a quick idea of what we're going to cover today. I want to talk about what challenges we face a little bit there. I'm going to talk about toolkits and why I think toolkits are a good idea. Some examples of toolkits that are available that might be of use or of interest to people here, particularly Carnival, which is the one I'm working on the most right now. And then we'll finish up. So the challenge. Last week in Zaragoza, Spain, a company called Zentiel and another company called Microsoft collaborated to put on a conference similar to this conference, but specifically with the theme of Windows interoperability with open source. Microsoft is now a very big contributor to open source projects. First they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. How does that go? That's where we are now. Microsoft is now contributing heavily to any open source project they think benefits them, including Samba. I mean, if you'll notice on the list of sponsors, we have Zentiel. They're the ones who sponsored this conference last week. Cernet, of course. Microsoft, right? So Microsoft sees benefit in the open source environment, in the open source community. And the theme of the conference last week was, how do we interoperate? How do we make that easier and better? And what can we gain out of it in the open source community? What's in it for us? How do we make this a worthwhile endeavor? But Windows interoperability, Windows is big. Right, when I put these slides together, I thought, last time I talked to Microsoft, there were over 500 documents in their publication set, in their published documentation set, right? And I gave that number to the crowd while I was there in Zaragoza, and Daryl Welch, who's here from Microsoft, Daryl said, yeah, actually, we're pushing 1,000 now. All right? That's 1,000 different ways that we could interoperate or that we could decide, not for us, right? So almost 1,000 documents. There are network protocols. There are file formats. There are APIs. This conference last week, we talked about LibreOffice. We had people from LibreOffice. We had KDE desktop people. We had OpenChange, which is the Windows Exchange interoperability suite that's being worked on. By the way, there's some big changes there because Microsoft has decided to dump the RPC mechanism for getting to Exchange, and they're publishing a web-based protocol for doing Exchange interoperability. So that's a very big opportunity right there. SMB is the best example, the oldest example, the very obvious example, but it's only one example. Samba has been around since 1991, I think. And so we've been, you know, at the forefront. There was a time where Samba was seen as the rebel alliance fighting the evil empire, right? That was a big deal back then. But now, you know, okay, the war's over. We're working together. We're getting things figured out. That's good. SMB is just one example of what we can do. I will tell you, however, that SMB is a very key example because Microsoft sees Samba as a key, not just competitor, but key partner as well, a frenemy, a very good frenemy. Because SMB, the protocol, is core to a huge amount of what Microsoft does. All right, SMB is a fundamental key piece of what Microsoft does. Several years ago at this very event out in the dining area, I was having dinner with Andrew Trigil, who founded Samba, of course. Andrew and I were talking, and we were talking about the documentation suite from Microsoft. And at the time, we were really excited because there were almost 200 documents. I mean, it was getting up to 200. It was really kind of cool. And Andrew said, we should implement all of them. We should do all of them. With 200, it was a little daunting to consider doing 200 protocols and file formats and things like that that we would have to implement. But now that there are 1,000, it's huge, right? So the idea is to pick your battles, figure out what's important out there and why it's important, implement the key components, and then build things up, because a lot of Microsoft's ecosystem is actually built layer upon layer. And if you look at things like the way OpenChange is built, the way the Exchange protocols are built, until switching to an HTML as their basis, you have to go through SMB, which means OpenChange is tied to Samba, because you're going through SMB to do RPC, to make the connection, to do MAPI, to build the whole system out from there. And I think that's one way to think of this, is to figure out, okay, what are the fundamental pieces that we need, and what do we build on top of that? And my approach to doing that is to build toolkits, right? What if we had just a set of tools that you could, as a programmer, grab hold of and say, okay, I'm going to use these to make the thing I want to make, all right? Modules, libraries. Pieces that are small enough to be replaced. Gee, I built this toolkit, and it stinks. I learned so many things building it and using it. I need to build a new one, right? All right, so we're going to go out, we're going to build this new toolkit and replace the old one, and how much is going to break when we do that? Well, probably a lot of things are going to break, but hopefully the API is clearly enough defined, and the modules are well documented enough that now you can repair the damage you've done, or you can maintain the old API with the new code underneath it. I will point out that a lot of SMB, a lot of Samba, is clearly defined APIs with new stuff underneath it. How many people remember the old NBT, NetBIOS over TCP layer? Okay, I got some nods, yes, all right. That was created originally by IBM. NetBIOS is an API. It's not a protocol. NetBIOS is just an API that sits on top of a protocol stack that was loaded into DOS memory back in the old DOS days. It was a terminate and stay resident program. But NetBIOS was the way you talk to that program. Nobody uses that network anymore. It was a 4 megabit, 4 kilobit? I don't know. It was a 4 megabit network, very slow. by today's standards. It had a maximum of 80 nodes. It was the project was called PC Network, and the cards were made by a company called SciTech. And you would actually, the NetBIOS names that you're familiar with were actually loaded onto registers in the card. That's how that worked. But people figured out very quickly how to take that NetBIOS API and build other things underneath it. They built DECnet underneath it. They built Novell NetWare underneath it. They built TCP/IP, UDP underneath that API. And then instead of running Microsoft's or IBM's terminate and stay resident driver program, you'd run the other one that would instead talk to the underlying system, right? And so having that standard API, which by the way is still out there, you can find the definitions of all the calls for NetBIOS. SMB could run on top of all of these different platforms because it didn't matter anymore. SMB was just talking to NetBIOS. And NetBIOS was talking to the underlying infrastructure. Okay, that's what we're looking for. And this is a basic, you know, this is basic software design, folks. This is the kind of stuff they don't teach in college anymore. Why? I don't know. But all the new programmers come out and they have no clue how to do this stuff. We see a lot of resurgence of this kind of architecture in web services these days. Web services all have to have a defined, documented, clear API, otherwise you can't use them, right? So this is like a new thing in the web, you know, 2.0 world. Like, look what we did, isn't this cool? And it's like, guys, we did this 20 years ago. This kind of programming requires a lot of upfront analysis. You have to know what it is you're talking about. You have to understand the objects you're working with. And I use the term objects purposefully, right? Because that's what they wind up becoming. And the other problem with this approach is that this approach doesn't lead immediately to a product. And we're in an environment, in a world nowadays, where if you don't come out with a big splash of, look what I just did, it's a big thing you can just use, people are kind of bored, but you know, what's the good of that? So it's up to people who are like us developers to understand, oh, but it's a toolkit and I can build the big thing on top of it, right? So one of my examples of how this all works is a project that I started kind of by accident, I don't know, 15 years ago almost? Maybe a little, 14, 15, somewhere in there. JSIFs. JSIFs was a crazy idea. Again, I was talking to Tridge. It was a phone call from the US to Australia. My wife still remembers that phone bill. Okay? I was talking to Tridge, and I was whining and complaining because Samba, to me, was this big, hairy thing that, you know. And Tridge said something interesting. He said, yeah, but the problem is all the Samba developers are so embedded in the way Samba works that it's very hard to get anybody to think about it differently, to break it into smaller pieces and think about it differently. And I said, well, I could do that. He said, okay, you could do that. Go ahead. And the next day I went out and I bought my very first book on Java. And I looked at this book on Java and I learned a bit of Java and I learned that I really didn't like Java as a programming language. So I wrote some of the most awful, terrible Java code you've ever seen. And I put it up on the internet and I announced a project. Right? Look what I did, it's a project. And people went, oh, okay. And sure enough, a little while later, as I developed more code, somebody came along and said, you idiot, I can write better Java code than that. Poor guy is still running the project. All right, I handed it off. I was the support. I provided the SMB know-how because I was on the Samba team and I had access to all that. And this other person wrote the code. And okay, maybe not too many people have really heard of JSIFs, but it became the foundation for a number of projects. Davenport I have listed here. NTLM over HTTP was an important piece of infrastructure for the internet for a few years. But more important than that, Davenport was the first effort that was done to breaking the NTLM and NTLM v2 authentication mechanisms. It was before the documentation, and Davenport is what gave the Samba team the information we needed to understand in TLMV2 and to break that level of authentication. And that's what gave us that. So there was this wonderful feedback loop. We created something in Java, it became important, and suddenly we had information from a third party, some guy named Eric, who said, I can do this stuff. Look what I can do in HTTP. Well, HTTP and TLM over HTTP, the basic protocols are the same. And now we know how to do NTLM V2, NTLM V1, and a few other things that we did. What happened was that JSIFs wound up getting used in embedded systems. Actually, there was a company that was building mainframes, supercomputer mainframe kind of machines at that level, and they needed an SMB tool to be able to access Samba and Windows shares. They grabbed JSIFs as well and made it part of their infrastructure. And now, the last time I checked, and you can probably check this and see if it's still true, the last time I checked, but on Android, if somebody's written a file browser and they want to add SMB, guess what they use? Why? Because the native language for programming Android is Java, right? And JSIFs is out there. So JSIFs, you know, JSIFs was pretty cool. It made a very big impact. But time marches on, and nobody's really working that hard. I mean, we do have the one person running the project, but he's not putting a lot of time into it. So there's no SMB 2.3 support. And that's something I think we really should have in JSIFs. I think that would be a win if we could do that. The authentication mechanisms are now outdated. Nobody's updated the authentication in quite a while. The community's fairly small, and what JSIFs needs today is an infusion of enthusiasm. Somebody to come along and say, wait, this is a useful tool, and I have need for it, and I think I can make it better. And I think we need that in JSIFs right now, okay? Samba is also a toolkit. Samba's been around since 91, maybe late 90, 1990. It's been around a while. I've been with Samba for 16 and a half years now. It's quite a strong community, as you've seen here. I mean, the fact that we can hold a conference just around Samba, that's a very good sign. And that the conference continues year after year. The code base is robust. I mean, Jeremy in his keynote said, you know, it's solid code. We have bugs, but there are less and less of them. He's absolutely right. You know, there it's a rock. And it's a very, very strong piece of code. The Samba team are subject matter experts. I mean, to the point that Microsoft went to the Samba team to find experts to write their documentation. I mean, that's, you know, that says a lot about the Samba team. And let me just also say that all my knowledge came from asking questions of my colleagues, right? Again, Samba's the foundation for open change. How many Soho NAS systems are there that use Samba? How many cluster systems out there are using Samba? A lot. It's the basis for how you interface with SMB, right? And a lot of storage startups, a lot of companies that have got new ideas and want to bring their product to market and need to work with the Windows environment, they grab Samba, they plug in, that's how they make it work. A wide variety of products. And Samba's been around for a long time. I will say back in 2008-ish, 7, 8, somewhere around there, I went to the Consumer Electronics Show, which is similar to CeBIT, you know, kind of a show, out in Las Vegas, which, believe me, is a place you shouldn't visit. No, it's not it's not for people. It was crazy. But I went out there, and one of the things I noticed back then, it's not true anymore, but back then, all of the little Soho NAS devices, all the home networking kits that were coming from Asia, you know, you open it up, you throw in a hard drive, and you close it, and you go, right? You plug it in, you go. All of those devices, they didn't say Windows compatible on the side. They didn't say SMB or SIFS on the side. They all said Samba compatible on the side. Some were running Samba, some were running really, really poor versions of SMB implemented somewhere, you know, by a bunch of programmers who really didn't know what they were doing. But the point is, they all said Samba on the side. How popular is Samba? We're a key component. And what's happened since then, from then to now, that's changed? We've become a commodity. Samba is just, oh, it's got to be there. In it goes. People almost forget that Samba's there because it's so obvious. Arguably, however, and this argument has happened many, many times, it's been repeated on and on again, Samba is really not a toolkit. There are too many important integrated systems. You have to have this, and you have to have that, and you have to have this other piece, and they all have to work together. The code base is, I think the last number I got was 1.5 million lines of code. Okay, yeah, and so I'm getting confirmation here, 1.5 million. Volcker is going through and cleaning out dead code, which is a good thing, but that's a lot of code to clean up, right? Remember I said a slide back that, you know, there were subject matter experts, people who really knew how this worked? That means we are more cathedral than bizarre. We are a bunch of experts who know each other and know how this works. And one of the core components of my career in this environment has been trying to share that knowledge, trying to get more people. And you heard it again in the keynotes. We need more people to understand this. But one of the problems we face is that there aren't that many people. I was speaking to a recruiter, a professional recruiter in California a couple of years ago, and she said, you know, if I put a sign in a window that says NFS programmers needed, I will get a line. I will get a line of people. NFS, okay, plenty of people out there who know how to do NFS work. But if I put a blimp, if I rent the Goodyear blimp and I put on the side of it, SMB coders needed, I get nothing because there just aren't enough people. And there are jobs for people who know how this stuff works. But SMB is considered daunting and monolithic. And I think one of the key things we're getting out of this year, something I've known for a while, but I'm finally hearing everybody else say it, is SMB 1 is going away. Right? SMB 1 is going away. SMB 2 is the thing. SMB 2 is smaller. It is not as big and daunting. So if you're interested in learning more about the internals of this stuff, really, okay? We're in a position now where we can really move forward. We can gain a lot. So Samba, arguably, is not really a toolkit. It's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. One person described it more as a Christmas tree where you can hang your projects, your issues, whatever, on as ornaments, all right? It's that big. And that argument, that actual discussion about how big Samba is and how many parts and pieces there are, is what 15 years ago led me to start the JSIFS project. And again, JSIFS, hey, it was a win. It was a win for the open source community. It's a win for Samba. It was a win for the general community at large, right? If I can use my phone now to access my SMB server to get to the files I want to get to, that's a win, right? And that's where we got to because of that very argument. And it was a polite argument, by the way. Trish and I were very good about it. So let's talk about some of the toolkits that are out there. Some of them are very solid projects. Some of them are false starts that could be started over again. But there are things that, you know, that are out there. And these are all the ones that I've been involved with, all right? These are all things that I've touched. There are probably other things out there as well, and it's worthwhile looking for them. JSIFS, we've already talked about. Several years ago, I started something called LibSIFS. I got just so far and didn't get a lot of interest, so I stopped. But the code is still there. There's something called STIB. Remember we talked about all those different protocol documents? Well, Microsoft has a protocol called BITS, Background Intelligent Transfer Service. So I wrote an implementation. It's not gorgeous. It's not, the best thing in the world, but it's enough to make it easy for anybody else to figure it out, bring the project forward, and build the tools they want. Prequel. Got it to the point where it was working really well, started taking it apart to make it better and haven't put it together, the rest together yet, but we'll talk about it. And Carnival is the big one that I want to talk about today. So real quickly on JSIFS, it has a purpose. It found its niche. I don't know if anybody recognizes Oblio there. He was the kid without a point, so he had a pointed cap. All right. Old American cartoon. Work in progress, libsifs. The bad about libsifs, it was underdeveloped. I didn't get very far. It was also over-designed. I worked way too hard to try to get all the code just nicely organized and everything else, and it's really fussy. And I learned a lot from that mistake. I'm probably going to take that code, rebuild it, and put it up on GitHub at some point in the future so that it will be, once again, you know, something people could work on. It does have a complete NBT toolkit in it. That's easy code to get done and out of the way. Microsoft keeps saying, and they've said for years, we're going to get rid of NBT. We're going to get rid of NBT. We're going to get rid of NBT. Haven't done it yet. So it's worthwhile having that. It is very well documented, so it's a good place to start. It does have some SMB1 components in it, but I think what would be good would be to convert it to an SMB2 library at this point. So it could be revisited, and again, there are a lot of things I learned working on that code. Right now, libsifs is still on my own personal webpage, which is ubix.org, ubiqx.org. But if anybody's interested, you know, let me know, and we'll work on getting it ported over to GitHub and probably smooth out some of the confusing structure that I created for it. So MSBits is an upload download utility, and most people don't think it's very interesting, except that Microsoft uses it to do uploads to, for example, web servers. So if you have a new web page that you want to get up to your Windows web server, IIS or whatever, you can use this to do a background transfer of the new data. It gets up to the new machine. It gets up to the machine. Once it's all there, then the machine does the transfer, transfers it over to the new web page, and you're set. All right. The other thing it's used for is for Windows Update, for download. Okay, so it's a fairly simple protocol. It's based on HTTP. It's just an extension over HTTP. And it's very useful for moving things up and down to Windows servers. And there are a variety of ways that it could be enhanced and extended beyond that. But, you know, it also supports something else called Microsoft Branch Cache, which is their distributed caching system, right? So it's a very good way to test branch cache, if you want to play with that. All right, and Prequel is my attempt to play with that. Prequel is a toolkit that we've been working on for a while now, on and off. Prequel does implement version 1 of Microsoft's branch cache. And the cool thing about that is that I have code that works that you can use to generate the branch cache fingerprint files that go along with your content. And if somebody were interested in working with us, you could, for example, add an Apache module that would give you all the features that Microsoft's IIS has with regard to branch cache. All right, the first connection from a client, a Windows client, to the server says, I can take branch cache fingerprints, please. All right, so the branch cache fingerprints come down instead of the content. Does anybody have the content? No. All right, I'll go get the content as well. So you get the content. Now you have both. Now you can store them on your machine. Or you can store them on a special caching machine. And once you've done that, the next time somebody goes up from your branch office somewhere, somebody goes up to the server and says, hey, I want that data, the content, but do you have the fingerprints? It gets the fingerprints and it asks the network, anybody got the actual data? Now you transfer the data from the local network instead of going out to the web again, all right? And this is a really interesting idea because there's more you could do with this. There are three components. There's the server side, there's the client side, which we don't implement in Linux at all these days, but we could. And then there's something called a hosted cache, which instead of sharing the data around the network, you designate a machine and you can now use that machine for caching. We do have some design work and some preliminary code. Thank you. Preliminary code for the hosted cache as well. But the server side, you know, we got it working. What it needs is more support, more interest, more collaboration, more people saying, hey, if it could do this, that'd be cool. This is my car. That's the last I saw of it. That's been at the body shop while I've been on this trip. The woman behind me didn't put on her brakes. She forgot. So Carnival. Carnival is the most active thing I'm working on right now. Carnival is an SMB2.3 toolkit in Python. It's designed for prototyping and testing. So the idea is, oh, gee, I want to know how to build this. I want to know how to build that. Okay, I'll build it first in Carnival. And then once it works, okay, I can take the code, I can look at the documentation, and I can build it in C or C++ or in, you know, whatever other language you want to do. Mumps? Anybody program in Mumps? No, never mind. I used to. It's written in Python. The idea is that we want to get it done and working. It is extremely well documented. I'm a documentation person. I do that. So I write the documentation, then I write the three lines of codes that actually does what I'm explaining to you that I'm doing, okay? And it's not, I'm going to put this value into this variable. No, it's, here's where you can find the protocol information on what I'm doing here and why I'm doing it this way and what it really means and why these values are important. And this other value might be important in the future, but, you know, that kind of thing. Keep in mind that JSIFs was a whim. It was an idea that I just, all right, I'm going to do this thing. And it won. It did something. Carnival is also something of a whim. It's something like, yeah, I think this should be done. All right? And there are other people out there. I was talking to somebody this week about another Python implementation that is actually seeing some use. What I found, though, was that when I looked at these other implementations, they're none of them really complete. Neither is mine yet, so that's fair. The APIs were not very well documented. And the SMB knowledge, the actual knowledge of the underlying protocol, was not really evident in the code. So it's really more of a case of somebody saying, well, if I throw this on the wire, it does work. But what's taking so long? Well, I have a real job. I have a day job, you know. Other priorities, other things that come ahead. I'm really doing a lot of work to document this, so it's taking some time. Everything's in PyDoc, so the documentation generates readable doc. You know, the code actually generates the readable documentation that you can read. There's doc test, so we doc test pretty much everything that we have written. I say we because I do have two other people helping me sometimes. And it's very careful coding. We're thinking a lot about what we're doing before we write the code. It's a bit of a dragon to slay there. SMB2 support, we're skipping SMB1. Been there, done that. There are a couple of SMB1 commands we've put in. The negotiate, because you can negotiate SMB2 from SMB1. And the echo, because you can do the echo without authentication, and why not use that to test with? So we've put those in there. And that's all done. That part's all written. But the goals are to share as much know-how as we have. We want to create, you know, a simple server, maybe something that can be embedded. One of the things we wanted to do was make it accessible to anybody experimenting. We've done the NBT layer. Again, the negprot and the echo are done. And we have the first few SMB2 plus commands are in testing right now. They're not ready for, you know, for use. That's the GitHub for this project. Okay. These slides will be available, I'm sure. And we've gotten the easy stuff out of the way. Basically, the heavy lifting is done. This was going to be the demo, but I spent the last month and a half trying to build this. If you're familiar with Fuse, there's another part of Fuse, the file system in user space, called Qs, which is a character device in user space. And my goal was to write, using my library, a character device in user space that did all the basic SMB stuff, right? That would give me the NBT and the SMB right there and expose that through a device driver. And exposing that through the device driver, now a user can access it. So you could write userland code to make a share available. And what I discovered working on this was that Qs stinks. It's really difficult to code. There's no documentation for the API, and I just wasn't able to get there. All right? So it ate up a lot of my time, and I wasn't able to get it for you. But that's my goal, is to build something that gives you a device that then a user can access to make a share available under their username to out via SMB. That's the test I want. And basically, that's it. I mean, that's what I've got for you. I'm running out of time anyway, so that's good. So any questions? I got 3 minutes. All right, and that's it. There we
You're
are.
Perfect in time, no hurries.
All right, I'm perfect. I'm perfect once in my life.
So we have enough time for questions.
Discussions, annoyances, you want to yell at me?
Whatever.
I'm used to having Jose in the room with me, and his job is to heckle. He's supposed to, you know, churn things up by get people involved by making rude comments. I love it. So, you know, talk to me. What was this good? Was this dumb? What, you know?
I like the picture.
I appreciate that. I do. I put a lot of effort into that. Those are all, you know, 1800s photos and not photos, drawings and such that are out of copyright that I can pull from various sources. Well, if you don't know how to use Windows as a work environment, yeah, there is.
So do you have
do you already have projects that are using your latest Carnival toolkit, or is it just a work of progress at this point?
It's a work in progress at this point. There are no projects currently using Carnival because the SMB2 piece is not yet ready. There's a little bit of SMB1. People could write something. My goal was to use this to provide a way to build something more interesting. And I was going to use Qs to do that, but I'm instead learning how to write kernel modules so that I can write my own mechanism. I know. No, I'm not. The question is, am I using any Samba code to do this? Samba provides Python bindings. I am not doing that. This is from scratch. I think that it doesn't take anything away from Samba to have this available. I think this is a way of sharing information, building a toolkit that people can use and learn from and use for prototyping and testing. That's the goal here with Carnival. Oh, just checked, and Nadia says 2.5 million lines of code. Not 1.5, but 2.5. So that gives you an idea why I think it's worthwhile to have small toolkits to do simple jobs, as well as having Samba in the environment.
Any more questions, comments? No? Then thank you, Christopher Hertel.
Bitte schön.